I'm an addict. My name is Faith.
Hi, Faith.
Hey, everybody. I'd like to thank God, first of all, for another day clean. And also, I'd like to thank this convention, the convention committee, for allowing me to come up here and share my experience, strength, and hope. NA dances don't equal recovery. I came up with three male friends of mine, and I need to say that. And they took real good care of me coming up here from North Carolina. And we laughed all the way up. And about a couple of hours after we got into Virginia, I think everybody was asleep except the driver. You know, and I really had a good time with them, and tomorrow when we leave to go back, I'm quite sure they're going to take care of me to get me back home. And NA dances don't equal recovery. I need to say that when I first came into this process, February 15th, 2000, I didn't make an NA dance till I had about 90 days clean, because I was in this recovery house, and I couldn't go out until, I had to be in at 10 for 3 months. And then after I accumulated some more time in the recovery house, I was able to go out, stay out all night, a three-day night out, and or stay in. It didn't matter as long as I passed the curfew. But when I ended up going to a dance, I didn't dance. I was just sitting there looking. And because I'm used to when you go out, you know, you have a drink in your hand or something like that, and you can dance all night. But I got, I'm originally from Delaware, Wilmington. And I used to go out a whole lot when I was using with my sisters. I got four sisters, and we used to go out. And my mother used to always tell us that when she passed 25, I think every 5 years she should give yourself a party. So Faith was the only one that did that, you know. And everything is there, you know, the drink, the stuff you use. These are presents, you know. This thing I'm using and everything, you know, everybody's bringing me a whole lot of stuff. So I continue on doing that for a while, having these parties every 5 years, birthday parties. And so when I got here in this process, I didn't really go to any parties, to any of the NA dances. I would do the meeting, and then I would listen to the music for a little bit, and then I would go back home, go back to the recovery house. And I do like to dance, don't get me wrong, I do. But I just wasn't into it at that time, probably because I partied a whole lot, you know, in active addiction. But when I moved down to North Carolina in 2000, and they said, keep on coming, you know, you'll hear your story. And it took me a while to hear it, but I did hear it. And what I heard was a lady that had one child. And when the child was about 12 or 13 years old, her family took care of it, took care of the child. That gave her a lot of free time. And that, for me, gave me a lot of free time. And sometimes she did not make it back from lunch, from work. And I could really identify with this lady when she was sharing this. Because I said I had to get some identification because, yeah, I had a job. Yeah, I had a place to live, but I was still using. My sister took my daughter when she was 12 and took care of her for me, you know. And I heard a lady say that in North Carolina, and I can really identify with that. So that's why I kept on coming and not using, making meetings, you know. But I used for a long time by myself, and when it was at the end of the road, that's when I really, really started getting paranoid, and I was wondering what was wrong with this stuff that I was smoking, because I was smoking it for about 12 years, and I stayed on that job that long, and at the end of the road, it really made me paranoid, and I said I had to do something, you know. And I don't know, you know how you say you, the not yets. It's a lot of not yets that I did not do in active addiction. I was just really spiritually I was tired. I was real tired trying to maintain a job, a place to live, and a paycheck, you know what I'm saying, and so I can use. And that really gave me a lot of free time when my sister took my daughter, you know, and took care of her for me. And I just know that when I came in Narcotics Anonymous, you know, the who's an addict, and it took me a long time to identify that I was an addict, you know, because it is some functional people out there that's still doing what they're doing. But see, when I used to hang out with my sisters and them, and we used to do that one night thing, you know, one night a week and go out, I was the one that would drink a half a drink. And as soon as I seen somebody that did what I did, I'm giving him the, so we can go outside, he can give me what I want, and I can go home. And then I have to hear that the next day from them, you know. B, what you to leave the club for? Well, I needed to go do what I do, and y'all did what y'all did, you know. I need to go do what I like, and I did it. I did that for a lot of times when we went out. But I am real, real grateful to be here in Ocean City, Maryland. You know, the guy that does this programming stuff, programming committee, he called me and told me he received some tapes that I sent him, but they weren't mine. They were somebody else, they were other people's. And he asked me, will I be willing to do something here? And I told him, I've been coming here for about 4 years now, since I've been clean, and I like this convention. And I told him, I'll do something for you. I'll do some service. And I didn't really get into service in my area until like 3 years ago. And I had the opportunity to be on the committee doing programming, and I was able to meet a lot of people through that. And I used to date a guy, a gentleman in North Carolina, that he used to speak all the time. And I used to say, oh, I want to go. So, okay, fine, you know. And when we get to the convention, he would leave. We'd check in, he'd go ahead and leave. And I was like, where is he going? He said, Faith, you need to go meet some people. You need to go meet some people because this is a worldwide fellowship. You know, I was real, real mad with him for a while, you know, and but I see why he did it now. You know, I see why he did it. And last month, me and him had an opportunity to do a convention together after not being with him for about 6 years. We had an opportunity to do a convention together, and we did the whole weekend. We shared a room together, and we had a good time, you know, and I'm real, real grateful for his friendship and saying what he said, because I was real mad because we were going all over the place, different states I'd never been, and he would leave, just go do his thing, you know, and I had to go do mine, you know, I had to go get mine too. But I really don't know where to go at with this NA dances, because I do like the dances, you know, and I like the meetings, too. In my area, it's the meeting first, and then they do the dances, you know. And I don't know. I just know that I like to dance, but I need to recover, too, you know. And I was talking to some friends of mine today, and I was asking them, which way do I need to go at with this topic? And they said, Faith, you need to just say what you want to tell the truth and leave it at that, you know. So that's exactly what I need to do. You know, I know a lot of people in this fellowship, you know, and one thing that I know that I really, really got this from when I was raised, when my mother raised me, was hurting people, you know, and that's one thing that I do not like to do, you know. And by me doing this service work, you know, I'm not on my committee no more in my area, but I do a lot of service all day long, you know, and it's no that I'm all right with that. I'm all right with it, you know. But I'm just real, real grateful that somebody will call you and say, Faith, I'm going here. I don't know nobody. Do you know anybody? And I'm able to help them, you know, pick them up wherever they're at, take them to a meeting, you know, and I know my service is done. I know that service part is done, you know. And I get that. I've been getting that for a long time by being in this process, you know. And I don't know. I just know I'm real, real glad to be here, y'all. And I really don't want to cut this short. But last night, the weather was so bad. I got to share this. The weather was so bad last night, and my hair fell. And my somebody over there laughed. They know the story. Well, what happened was, when I woke up, I said, I got to do something with my hair. And my friend says, do you got to do it because of the main meeting tonight? I said, no, all day. I need to do something with this. So I'm in the phone book looking for a place where they can do black women's hair. A stylist, you know, on the boardwalk somewhere. And I call my girlfriend that's here from North Carolina, and I asked her, does she have a wig? And she said, no, I didn't bring one. You know, I was like, okay, well, what's the matter? I said, my hair, you know. But I was able to find somebody in the hotel that I'm staying at, a black lady. And she told me where they sell the wig at. So, you know, my hair is right here, but I had to get a wig because they fell. And I didn't have no acceptance with that for a while. And a friend of mine that lives in D.C., I said, are you busy this morning? Yeah. I said, well, I got to go pick up a wig. He was like, Fave, you got hair. I said, I know I got hair, but I need a wig. And the lady gave me these directions, and y'all, she said, go over 50 Bridge, do 5 lights. I was like, I don't see the shopping center. He said, Faith, I'm going one more light, and I'm going back. I looked over there at him. I said, for real? He said, yeah, for real. I said, can you try this one more light? I'm quite sure we're going to see that Arby's on the right and that shopping center on the left. So we tried one more light, and that was the shopping center where the wig was at. So this is what I got on. And I said, you going to come in with me? He looked at me and said, no. I said, you need to come in here with me because I don't know what I'm doing. So he came in. We picked his wig out, and I felt a whole lot better. You know, I felt a whole lot better. And I said, can we still go to the outlet? You still want to go there after all this morning? I said, yeah, I still want to go there. So he ended up taking me to the outlet. I did my little shopping, and I was all right. If you in here, I love you, okay? Thank you for being patient with me this morning with my hair. And everybody I seen, I was like, does my hair look good? I don't even know them. Does my hair look good? They said, yeah, it look all right. It looks all right. I said, okay, fine, you know? And then I felt real, real comfortable after that. But he said, you mean you're not going to speak if you can't do nothing with your hair? I said, that might have to work that way. But we're going to work this out, and you're going to make sure I get this piece on my head. You know, so when I go back to North Carolina, I'm going to get the lady that's been doing it for a couple years now to get straighten me out. But, I'm grateful to be clean in this process. You know, and I do have a lot of friends in here, you know, and something had went on with me a couple weeks ago, and I need to share this because now I believe it must be coming a problem, because I have this text thing on my phone, and it says, I just want to say hi and to tell you to have a good weekend. Now, this has been going on for about a year on my phone, and I got like 250 numbers in my phone. When that button goes off, it just goes off. But a couple weeks ago, somebody outside my area called me and said, can you stop doing that? Because I'm in a relationship. 2 days later, somebody else says it to me. And before I came up here, somebody else said it to me. I says, okay, I'm going to respect that, okay? And then about a couple of days after all three of these male friends of mine did that, they called me back and they said, I am in a relationship. I said, okay, I respect that. And my thing is, that's good. I seen y'all at such and such a convention. Y'all look cute together, you know? Well, how long y'all been dating? 2 weeks. Okay, fine. You, if that's how you want it, you're going to cut me off. You've been with her for 2 weeks. Okay, I love you anyway, you know? But he called me back. These three people called me back, and they said to me, they made some amends. It really, really bothered me because I don't know. It probably because the text is not personal, but I need to respect what they said. And they did this to me, and I was real, real hurt behind it, you know? And then they called me back, all three of them, and they said it. I'm sorry. I still need you in my life, Faith. Okay, fine. If you still want me to do it on Fridays, I will. I was willing to do a verbal. Hi, have a good weekend. Love you. They didn't want me to do anything. But they was able to call me back and let me know that I can continue on sending my texts on Friday. Because it really means a lot to me. Because I'm not able to talk to 250 people during the week. You know, during the week, I'm not. So if that's what I have to do on Fridays for me and in my recovery, I do that, you know. And I'm disabled not to talk to 250 people. But in some days, it seems like that's just as much people as I help in this fellowship with either a meeting, getting somebody's phone number or something, doing some kind of service. And but I'm real glad that they was able to call me back and tell me that Faith can text them again, back again on Fridays, you know. And I'm all right with that. I'm all right with that because it really bothered me, you know, because I've been doing this for about a year. And I continue on adding people in my network and continue on doing this, you know. And I need to say that I'm real, real grateful again to be here, and I'm going to let Jeff share his experience, Jeff and Hope, and I'm going to go dance for a couple bit, you know, just a little bit, then I'm going back to my room, and I'm going to do that last meeting tomorrow, and I'm going to go back home to North Carolina, and thank you all for allowing me to share.
I forgot to tell you that this is the title of this meeting is NA Dances Don't Equal Recovery. So our next speaker is going to be Jeff, and Jeff is from New York.
My name is Jeff. I'm going to break the ice with this story. I generally share this. It wasn't until I came to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous that I would actually tell people that I was nervous, right? First, I'd like to thank anybody that was here before me that prayed for me and for keeping the doors open. And I'd like to welcome anybody that's newer than me and let you know that this program does work and you can recover a day at a time. When I was like 18 years old, I got arrested. I got arrested for a homicide that I didn't do. And I remember being on Rikers Island, and I was telling my friend Charles Terry, he was on Rikers Island, he was a real murderer. And I said, Charles, listen, I didn't do this here, man. I'm scared to death. I'm nervous. He cut me off. He said, ho. He said, listen, man, didn't nobody in here do nothing. But long as you in here, I think you need to act like you a murderer. And I proceeded to do that up until December the 9th, 1990. That's my clean date, right? And it truly has been a journey. And I know I'm blessed to be alive, and I'm blessed not to be doing 100 years in the penitentiary. The N.A. dance doesn't equal recovery. I asked my sponsor the same thing, and he said, listen, you can't go wrong. Share your story, and hopefully you'll touch on the topic. When I first got introduced to this program, it was in 1985. A friend of mine by the name of Kyrie brought me to my first meeting. He passed away, and he passed away clean. And he brought me to a meeting in Manhattan called Only Game in Town. And at this meeting, it was all kind of people, right? It was white people, black people, Spanish people, gay people, people with purple hair. It was all kind of people. And I immediately told Kyrie, I said, listen, Kyrie, listen, I don't know how you getting down, man, but I'm not with this frequency, you know? Because they was telling Kai, yo, man, you ain't call me, you know what I'm saying, where you been at? You know, they was showing them love. I know the day they was showing them love. Where's your number, blah, blah, blah. I said, I'm not with this freak shit, man. I don't know how you getting down, man. You know, because Kyrie was a Sunday. It was a Sunday meeting at 8 o'clock, and he said he was going to give me $10 so I can do what I got to do. So I went with him, and I was in this meeting, and the only thing I heard was keep coming back. Now, a lot of things happened in 1985, right, when I made my first meeting. I also started work at the job that I'm on now in 1985. And he told me that I need to check into this facility where the meeting was being held at. He said, yeah, you need to check in here, stop using, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I spent a lot of time not trying to go to jail. I wasn't the one to turn myself in on a warrant or just volunteer to check into the nut house. Now, if you took me there, great. So I said, nah, I can't do that, you know. And eventually, they sent me a note, a letter to my house. They fired me. They fired me from my job. They said, you know, the city of New York, we're letting you go because we don't trust your character, right? And I had no knowledge of the steps, traditions, none of that. And this was in 85, and I remember showing my mother the note, right? And I said, Ma, I said, look, they fired me. Because that was my claim to fame. Once I got the city job, I was born and raised in New York City Housing Project. And, you know, having a city job is like, you struck gold. You know what I'm saying? You are the fucking man. You know, that's like getting back food stamps or something. You know what I mean? You are the man, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, that, like, fed my ego. Like, I would be in the shooting galleries, you know, your niggas need to get a job, you know, you're sitting around, you know, why don't you go take a test? You know, like the test I took was hard. And my mother read the note, and she said, yeah, she said, they firing you because they don't trust your thinking. And I said, thinking? She said, yeah, your character. They don't trust what you might do. I was like, wow, that's deep. But I had completed a year probation. So I wind up going to court, blah, 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 and I got the job back. Right? So I did a lot of meetings. I joined the quicker pick office. Right? And that was like I would make meetings, and I would stay clean between paychecks every 2 weeks, and I would go use, and I would come back, and I would say, listen, I got one day back, blah, blah, blah. I relapsed, and I remember a brother named Santos told me, he said, listen, you ain't relapsing. In order for you to relapse, you got to spend some time in this program. You got to have done some things, did some step work, had a sponsor, service, blah, blah, blah. You are a quicker picker upper. That's what you are. And, you know, mind you now, I'm still running on, I'm a gangster, you know what I mean? I was the last one to know that I lost weight, that nobody wasn't really scared of me, that y'all was just putting up with me until, you know, I got my shit together. And Santos was a little Spanish guy, right? And he said, yeah, you're a quicker pickup, man. Just keep coming, man, you know. And I did that, right? And I was sharing with a brother on the way here, right, that how an N.A. dance might not be recovery, right, quote, unquote, but it's part of the recovery process, right? Because since I was 16 years old, any party I ever went to, I use. you know, when the rap era came out, we would go to the park, and we had the DJ in the park, and we would have our old English, and we would have our reefer, and then we would be in the park, and then you had a set of guys like me that would be in the corner, you know, what time we gonna set this shit off? You know, we gonna start a fight, somebody gonna get their hat took in, their sneakers, or, you know, anything's gonna happen, you know, and generally, we enjoy the party, and around about 12:30, we start this shit, right? And so when I got here, right, when I experienced the party in this fellowship, and I was clean, I was fucked up. I didn't know who I was. I was fucked up. I couldn't talk to nobody. You know, I just was a basket case. You know, I became a wallflower. You know, and where I'm getting at is that, like, my first real party is when I got clean in 1990, right? December 1990, I went to this group anniversary, right? It was on Humboldt Street. And I was talking to the gentleman. It was on Humboldt Street. And it was a party in there. I mean, people was jumping up and down. They was partying. I was like, yo, this is some shit here, but somebody's getting high on this motherfucker. You know, motherfuckers was too happy, you know what I mean? It was cold out, you know, and my mother was happy, you know, and I stayed for the whole party. I stayed for the whole party, and I was going to use, right? I was going to use. I was standing there, the group anniversary was over, and I was going to use. I had some money, because like I said, I was down at the Quicker Pickup, and so I got paid every 2 weeks, so, you know, I had cash. And some brothers that didn't really even know me asked me, you know, where are you going? You know, and I was like, well, I ain't going nowhere, you know, blah, blah, blah. I don't know, I'm going home, you know. And they said, well, come with us, right? And, you know, I went with them. I went with them, and they brought me to another party. Now, this party wasn't a Narcotics Anonymous sponsor party, but it was a clean, and what you call clean and sober event. And I went up in there, and I partied again. And, you know, I met a little girl in the party. You know what I'm saying? And I said, well, this ain't too bad, you know what I mean? They seen to it that I got home, right? And that got me through my first holiday, where I wanted to use, but I didn't. You know, they say when you come around, make 90 means 90 days, you know, get clean. What they say, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, winter, spring, and fall, right? And, you know, I did that. You know, and back then, things wasn't so tense. You know, now everything is so tense, you know? Everything's so tense. Everything's so tight. Everything's so serious. You know, where the point, like, you know, the way I see it is like it's morbidly serious. And I have a lot of things going on in my life, you know, financially, health-wise, you know, relationship-wise, family-wise, that I can be morbidly serious about. But I know that would drain me. You know, I would no longer be happy, joyous, and free. And that's what I'm striving for. I'm generally a happy guy, you know, with or without. That's what I'm learning, with or without. And so I stayed, and I remember getting some friends, and I remember going to another party with my partner. We've been partners for like 17 years. You know, we drove down together. You know, she was talking about coming down, you know, how much fun they was having. I mean, it was a fun trip, man. You know, I'm running with some people, and my man is telling people they can't eat breakfast, get in the car. Yeah. You know what I mean? Get in the car. You know what I'm saying? And they coming to me, you know, oh, he won't let us eat. I said, what do you mean he won't let you eat? You know what I'm saying? I thought y'all was gangsters, man. Tell that motherfucker you're going to eat and he going to wait. You know? I didn't want to argue with him. I went and got a little butter roll, you know, with an egg on the motherfucker. And look, I just want to get down there, you know, because I know how he get down. You know, he start throwing tantrums. Well, I ain't going. No, I want to get down there. You know what I'm saying? Don't start with him until we halfway here. But I'm serious, listen. We was here, right? They listened to me. We drove another 25 miles. We came into town, drove another 25 miles out of town to go to Cracker Barrel's, drove back. They started adding up the mileage, looking at me. He said, you know what he said? If I keep driving, I'm going back home. What you going back home? We just spent 5 hours. How the fuck are you going back home? You know, my thinking told me, yo, I got to get a ride back home myself, because I'm getting out. You know what I mean? You know, because my image and ego tell me I want to share no matter what. So if I got to take my bag and walk back this motherfucker, you know, and get in the room, I'm going to do that. You know what I mean? And you know, it was like a fun thing going down, right? And I remember we went to a party, right? It was an NA function, right? And, you know, it was crowded. People was jumping around. I told my man, I came in. I said, yo, G. I said, we going to blow up in this motherfucking spot. I could feel it. You know, the girls was jumping all around. I said, I could feel it. We going to blow up. You know, because I think everybody liked me. You know what I mean? Either I think everybody liked me or I think everybody don't like me. And one of the things I want to say is that I want to thank everybody that's here to support me. Because at one time or another, my thinking tells me that y'all don't like me. That's the main thing, a part of this disease that I hate, of my disease that I hate, is when it tell me people don't like me. I swear to God, it has me sit down and it has me attempt to strike out first, you know. It has me put up a wall where I don't like you. I don't know why, but you don't like me, I don't like you first. So this is why I don't feel so bad. And I'll be walking by, and people be saying, why are you walking by me, man? You walk by me all day. Did I do something to you? I'll be like, no. I thought, you know, I'll be wanting to say, I think you don't like me. you know, so like I say, staying clean for me must come first, right? Must come first and always come first. And, you know, I seen how this thing worked, right? And I'm thinking, right? I'm saying, you know, how, you know, the NA dance doesn't equal recovery, but I seen people come around to NA dances and get into the recovery process, right? And I'm thinking, and I'm saying, God, it's a disease also has me forget, right? My first wife, right? When I got clean, my wife still was using, right? And, you know, I they say if you're in a relationship, stay in one. If you're not in one, don't get in one. That nobody follows that rule. I ain't met nobody yet that follows that one. You know what I mean? And I remember going to meetings, right? My wife was doing her thing. You know, she was, you know, I was giving her the money. You know, she was, you know, she was robbing me. You know, she just broke out. Her disease, and she's a nice girl. I used to control her. You know, I say, sit down, listen, this is what we're going to do, blah, blah. Yeah, I was the boss. When I got clean, her disease broke out, I was scared to fucking death. I was hiding my money. You know what I mean? She was saying, listen, we need money to go food. Give me money to go food shopping. I said, well, no, I'm going to go food shopping. You ain't been going shopping. You ain't been going, motherfucker. So I don't want to really argue with her, right? You know, you ain't been going shopping. Nah. What are you trying to say? I'm not trying to say, no, I'm going, no, you're not going to do a motherfucker. Give me the money. You don't know what to get, you know? So I was just giving the money a little fucking head, you know? But whenever, right? And then it got to a point I had a home group. So I was able to share about my wife, right? I was able to share about what was going on in my life. And not, you know, not dog her, but say, listen, she's using, I want her to get clean. She's not ready to get clean, but I'm not going to abandon her. Right? So one of the things I did was that whenever I would go to an NA function, I would invite my wife. Right? I would say, yo, I'm going here. Do you want to come? Well, I don't know. Well, you know how I get down. So I said, well, come on, Khalil. And she would come, and she would be high. Right? We used to have a picnic in Central Park. And I would, no, this is Central Park. I was uptown. I was worldwide, nigga. You know? I was in Manhattan area. That was one of the blessings too, right? See, I got clean December 9th. We had moved into our last apartment. See, me and we used to move into apartments and just, you know, wait for the dispossessed. Right? And the last bad experience, we had a real bad experience in New Jersey. Right? They got total laws. When they give you dispossessed, they mean get out. They don't mean 72-hour notice, show cause, come back, one-shot deal. No, get out. Get the fuck out. And we had moved into another, we was in there, right? My wife said, listen, are y'all going to buy some furniture? She said, we need to buy, we was getting high in Jersey, right? Nice place. I don't know how we got in. Must have been her name. It couldn't have been mine. And she said, we smoking crack, you know. She said, we need to buy some furniture. So I said, why is we buying furniture? We're not going to be here long. Well, fuck. I'm not going to waste my money on no fucking bedroom set and have to leave that. We could smoke this shit now. We're not buying fucking things. And after a while, she agreed. She said, yeah, I see what you mean, Jeff. Yeah, fuck that. fuck that. You know what I'm saying? We got a couple of blankets, a couple of stems around the joint. Oh, man, we was lovely, right? So, you know, my high power worked on time. I was out in Blakenhans there, right? One of the last places that, you know, after one of my prior relapses, I used out there. I stopped out there because nobody knew me. See, I was name brand guy in the projects in Fort Greene. They knew me in Fort Greene. But that name was starting to fall off, you know what I mean? But out there, they didn't know me, right? So I got clean, and what happened, I got called for a new apartment in Harlem. So we moved to Harlem. And I was clean enough to able to hold the joint down, you know, while we went through our struggles, you know. And, you know, so we used to go to this picnic, and my wife used to sit on this rock, and she used to get high. She, you know, either she would drink or she'd have a little thing. And I would go over every time to time and check on her. And she would say, oh, you're just happy motherfuckers. You know? You're some happy motherfuckers. You know, you're running. So I said, you want a burger? And I don't want nothing. I don't even want to fucking be here. You know? So I'd be like, come on, G, relax, man. It ain't that bad. Oh, no, you don't. God, leave me the fuck alone. So I would leave her, you know. But somehow or another, she started building her own foundation. People started noticing her for who she was, right? And then she started coming, And we would go to dance, and it would be the same thing over again. And one time, I didn't have to. She would say, well, can I drink and go? I said, you can do whatever you want. But then she told me one day a guy came up to her and said, yo, you're a very nice person. When you come to our next dance, why don't you come? You know, come sober, come clean. You know, don't use nothing. But she didn't listen to me. She listened to him. The next time we went, you know what I mean? I don't know what she did after the dance, but when we went there, she didn't use. You know, so I seen how, you know, attraction. And I tell anybody that when you got a family member or you're trying to get somebody to stay to get clean to get into the program, introduce them to the fun part. You know, and I kind of. What's the word I'm searching for? I recommend that even strongly now and then because things are so serious now. You know what I'm saying? You go in the meeting now and you got 25 books. You know what I'm saying? Guys is working on character defects and shortcomings with 6 days. You know? A guy told me what I need to do. You know what I'm saying? I mean, listen, I'm open for suggestions, but I said, Holmes, I've been here a couple of Christmases, man. You know what I mean? See, I know to make a meeting on Christmas. I know if after my, you know, in my home, I don't smoke cigarettes, I don't allow no alcohol in there, unless my moms come. You know, now moms come, I ain't telling moms about it. Moms look and say, look, you is crazy. You ain't got to go get nothing. I bring my own shit here. Go in your own room. Where you going to put me out? I ain't put my mom's out. You know, my mom's has experienced the joy of the felt. My mom's go to world conventions. I was telling my man in the room, I said, I don't think I want to go to Spain, right? And I show you how this program works. Right? I'm saying, listen, I don't think I want to do Spain. I don't want to go. So I call my sister. My sister's down in Detroit, Michigan, right? And I remember making that convention a couple of times. Now, you talking about the N.A. dance. A couple of years back, before they went bankrupt, right? They had smokers. I experienced that. That was a total experience for me. I went up in a hotel. They had 5 different dances. They had old school dances, that R. Kelly thing. You know? Yeah, they had that before R. got freaky. You know what I mean? Then they had the kids. The kids had their little section. You know, like down in Atlanta, Georgia, I went to one of their conventions. They put the kids in the room and padlocked them in there. Yeah, they didn't let them mingle with us. I think that's a good idea, you know? You know, it's like the joys in the journey, you know? And I remember, like, going to another level, like getting involved in service. And one of the commitments I always wanted to do, but low self-esteem kicks in for me. So I don't have low self-esteem in all areas of my life. Not in all areas, but in some areas I do, right? Some areas I don't think I'm smart enough or bright enough to handle. And like at one point I was running buildings in my job. You know, they did a shake up there. You know, I still get the same side, but now I'm just my title. You know. You know, I'm an assistant. I'm a custodian assistant. I'm somebody's assistant. I got a young little guy telling me what to do. You know, but I got him shook up. I got him shook up. He asks me, you know, is it all right? You think you can do that for me? Yeah. No problem. Just don't come back too often. But I'll do that for you. You know what I mean? I mean, that's something I need to work on. You know what I mean? I was right. Telling somebody, I shared the mean. I cursed my boss out. He told me, listen, you're coming in late. You're taking too many days. I said, well, how dare you tell me something like that, man? I said, I've been here for 21 years, man. You can't tell me about coming in. He said, if you want another 21 more. He said, what are you? I can't say nothing. I'm your boss. He said, if you want another 21 more years, you will be here early tomorrow. You know what I mean? And I walked off like a tough guy, but I know what he's talking about. See, I done sat in meetings and heard members, you know, our literature tells us, you know, in more we be revealed, you know, that we become jobless, homeless, and penniless, some through no fault of our own, and majority of times through fault of our own. See, like I said, you know, having a city job for me is a big ego booster, and I do not want to be sitting in no meeting talking about, you know, I came in late, they fined me. You know, or going to the NA dance, being a stickler about that says donation. Britt pull out my dictionary, that's a donation. I don't have a donation. Can I get in? You know, everything's technical now. No, you're having a meeting in there, I'm gonna stay for the meeting, then they gotta kick you out the meeting. Well, everybody get out the meeting and then come back in and pay. Now I'm hiding in bathrooms and shit. You know, 17 years clean. I'm not above that. You know, but like where I'm going with that is that it's one commitment I always wanted to do. Right? I always wanted to be an entertainment chair for the New York Convention. Always did. Right? And I was listening to the opening speaker, right? Because, you know, sometimes that's not my forte, you know, communicating with people. You got to be, when you get into service, you got to learn how to be diplomatic. You got to learn how to let shit roll off your back. You can't let stuff to your person. I take shit personal. Somebody scream at me or say something to me. Like I said, I start telling people don't like me. Now it's all five. We're in a business meeting. Now I think like all five of y'all don't like me. Yo, that's that bullshit. They try to set me up. You know what I mean? Now I'm mumbling. I'm on the phone with my crew. Yeah, dirty motherfuckers. They've been in service too long. They don't want to let me in. You know, I go off. You know, my own thing. But I always wanted to be entertainment here. Because I used to say things like, listen, man, a good function, man, is like, for me, like real vital. Now, I know about the steps and the traditions. I know about all that. Like, anybody that know me know that I deal with some real things in my life. And I ain't just running on will. I'm running on some strong faith. Right? I'm running on, like, the third step. See, I know where I'm at in my recovery. I don't need to get up here and tell you God 15 times. See, if God start talking to me all day today, I'm going to the psychiatrist. You know what I mean? That's just me. I'm not listening. And I'm going to the psychiatrist. If I'm hearing this guy all day, no. No, I'm not Moses. I'm going to the psychiatrist and let him know, listen, I'm hearing voices. I'm just not going to do it. You know what I mean? So, I learned what my will is, right? And I learned what God's will is after the fact. After the fact, I learned what God will is in my case, you know. So I always wanted to do that. I said, listen, we don't need we don't need to fly in no guest speaker. We need to fly in a guest DJ. You know what I mean? I mean, we ain't got to fly. We can get a speaker from the area to open the meeting, close the meeting. You know what I mean? We need to get Kid Capri up in this joint, man. And really turn it out. You know what I'm saying? Let's get some professional, you know, entertainment, you know? Yeah. You know, we got some DJ close the doors and let's house music all night long, you know? And when we first came around, we used to get down like that, man. I remember we had a pajama party at the New York Convention. Right? That was off the hook. I thought that was amazing. We was in there with pajamas. And everybody left with their pajamas on. Yeah, and I was one of the architects of that. I was proud of that. I was on that committee. I said, you know, the little pervert side of me came out. Yeah, let's have a pajama party. You know, fuck it. And I'm like, yeah, boy. I said, we're going to turn this motherfucker out. Yeah, I said, I was down with that. My sponsor was on the committee. They just have a pajama party. I went to Macy's, got some Tommy Hill. Remember the blue and white long Tommy Hill? I was sharp. Sharp like a motherfucker. Had some slippers. Oh, man, had a ball, man, you know. I'm like still here today, man, behind that. You know, just being happy, joyous, and free, not being morbidly serious, right? You know, I mean, a number of good people in my life, man. So I took it to the I started doing some private stuff, right? Some private parties, right? You know, clean parties, right? So, you know, I have a partner in the ventures, right? So people just say, yo, oh, you're making a lot of money. You know, every now and then I make a little money, I'm able to buy a leather jacket. But I tell my partner, I say, you know, we're throwing a lot of charity events. You know, because people come, you know, they say they don't have money. You know, my partner falls for it. God pull up in a 1999 Mercedes-Benz. I have no money. I look at this car, I say, I guess not, nigga. I guess fucking not. Just put the fucking car. Can I get a ride home? What are you going to do? You got to let him in. So I tell my partner, I said, yo, Vanessa, we're dealing, these people are very wealthy. They have wealthy families. I sit at the door. The guy, I mean, I'd be at the door, right? I come to the door. Probably, it costs $7 to get in. I don't have $7, Jeff. You ain't got $7. Hey, jewelry all on his neck, all kind of shit, you know. So I said, all right. Well, give me $5. Give me $5. Come on then, come on. I ain't going to the pocket. Give me $100 bill. I said, nah, that's the fucking. Nah, come on, man. Why couldn't you go get change, man? What happened to the old get change? Because, you know, that come over me. You know, even when I go to Knockhouse 9-5, I ain't tell you I walk this straight line, you know, and I'm righteous, Jeff. You know, you go to the event, and it's tickets are $7 in advance, $10 at the door, you know. Hey, go. You know, usually I walk across the street like they're having the old timers things. So I live in my house, you know, I make sure I get the exact $7. You know, because I ain't buy the ticket. So now they want $10, you know. I had exact money, you know, like you're going to cop, right, proper. You know? So you get to the door, you don't want to argue with nobody. It's like, yo, all I got is $7, you know. Hey, they look at you, come on, Jeff. I got $7, that's right, yeah. You know, we don't want to get into donation. It says fucking donation, motherfucker. Don't start now. You know, I start throwing the fit. They have it. Get him out of here. Get him away from the door. You know, the people behind me, they're like, what'd that say, Jeff? What's that? Donation. 20 of them. Now it's 20 of us. You know what I mean? Let me in and you can get your $10, man. You know, that's what I try to show up, man. You know, I give back with so freely given. Like I said, my first wife, she went to her trial and tribulations. I believe she has 11 years clean, I believe. 12 years clean. She has 12 years clean, you know. And, you know, the process worked, you know. I still haven't blown up. You know, I haven't blown up in the fellowship. You know, but, you know, recently some older members have came back into doing service. We had a party New Year's Eve that was out of this world. That just passed. It was like the old time. It was like, man, they was jumping off the walls. You know, we put out the flyers to set a lot of people underneath the belief that sometimes the old timer just goes off and we don't support each other. You know, it's just that we don't ask no more. They say we can't help each other if we don't know what the problem is. So we had a little problem in Brooklyn area, you know, funds, you know what I'm saying? You know, not enough funds, you know, whatever. And sometimes we can't put money first all the time. You know, the committees that we form, right, the group's supposed to take care of them, right? And those committees not supposed to be just geared towards money. It's supposed to be geared towards unity, from what I read. You know, like all conventions, ENA committees. Money, we need money to do these things, but money is not our primary purpose. Once we start getting money, we start talking money. See, now I want to sit up in there with my man that ain't in recovery. Right? See, I want to sit around, you know, I want to be on the committee too. I just want to run the cash register. It's about money, you know what I mean? That's where I'm at. You know, just let me do the money. Call me in for the money, if that's the primary purpose. But it's supposed to be about unity, love, showing the newer member that it worked, and not forgetting about the older member that may be sick, that has to stop working, that's living on that fixed income. So we had a New Year's Eve party, right? The member went out. She went out her way. I'm not even going to say she went out her way. She did what she was supposed to do. She took the list. She started calling people. You know what I'm saying? We rolled down together. Matter of fact, that's why I told Gary. I said, Gary, you got to let Vanessa eat for next year. She, you know what I'm saying? She has to put the party together again. Let her get breakfast. What's wrong with you? And we still didn't get out of Brooklyn on time. Everybody left. Jerry and them got in the time before us, and we left before them. We was riding around circles. So we had this New Year's Eve party, right? Oh, man, it was off the hook, man. Members came. They came from church, you know, whatever they do on New Year's Eve. They brought donations in. Like I said, we need money to pay our way. They stopped taking money after a certain point, after all the expenses was paid. They stopped taking money. It wasn't about making a profit. Oh, man, we was up in that joint, you know. And I left out because I want to be everywhere, you know. I want to be at two places at the same time without a car. You know, so I'm hitchhiking rides here, hitchhiking rides there, and if you ain't going my way, you don't like me. You know, I'll tell you in a minute, oh, he don't want to give me a ride, he don't like me. Or you ain't leaving. A lot of people say, yo, I'm going your way, man, but I ain't leaving now. Oh, you don't like me. If I want to leave now, well, if you want to leave now, get a car. Get a car and you can leave when you want to leave, Jeff. But I'm still going to give you the ride, just not going to be now. Oh, man, I mean, this program has saved my life, man. It showed me a new way to live. You know, just staying on a lot lighter version of this topic, you know, we was out in San Jose at the World Convention. And this was a real surprise for me, right? We went into this dance show. They had a live band. And I walked into the place. We all was in there. And the artist that they had was CNC Music Factory. And I was blown, because those were my peers. I got everything they made. Oh, we turned that out. We was up in there jumping up and down. Oh, man, it was lovely, man. The whole town, man, just clean and serene, man. Clean and serene. Never have to use again. If you knew, you never have to use again. And if you do use, you know, come back. Come back and sit up front. And take another shot at it. That's what I did from 85 to 90. I ain't telling you you got to take that path, but that was the path for me. And then when I got here, some things was revealed to me. You know, like I'm saying, you know, financial issues, health issues. And I was so glad I had a foundation. I had people in my life that I could call and I could tell them. You know, I'm so glad that part of me is like I have an ego, right? And my ego saved my life. Right, my ego saved my life because I couldn't go just sit in the corner because people would say, well, why are you sitting in the corner, Jeff? You always up in somebody's face, jumping out and laughing, blah, 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 blah. And it was some things I just had to free myself. You know, and I was able to do that to the group. And when I did it, I felt better. And people said, you know what, it's okay. I'm going through the same thing you're going through. I'm just ain't ready to say it. But I'm glad you said it because it's helping me stay here. You know, and it's been a journey because I thought I was out the box. You know what I'm saying? When I got this diagnosis, I was like, oh man, I'm finished. I'm through. Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. You know what I mean? Just when I come up in this motherfucker, all these motherfucking women in here, and these motherfuckers gonna tell me this shit here. I wind up getting married. I wind up, you know, acting out. You know what I mean? People come up to me. I guess they was checking my pulse. Me and my manager, they check your pulse. Yeah, you might not be around for a month. Might not be here for too long. We want to bless you now, Jeff. You know, so I ran with that for a minute. You know, the sympathy vote, you know. Yes, yes, help me. I'm struggling through this here. You just build me up, you know. I think I'll stay. You know, but I ain't going nowhere. I'm not going nowhere. You know, I show up. I got a home group. Die at 10. You know, I try to be, you know, they used to have a saying that they'd rather see a sermon than hear one. I try to, you know, lead by example. But most of all, I try to stay open to suggestions. Because sometimes I be in my home group, I be making noise. You know, I'm the distraction. You know, so when someone says something to me like, yo, you got to be quiet, you know, I got to be quiet. Like, it's a new member there, right? And I was telling him at his anniversary, I said, this is the only guy that really, like, kind of, like, you know, intimidated me. He told me to be quiet in the meeting, and I actually shut up. And I sat there for a while, like, what the fuck is he? Just told me, yeah. He said, yo, man, you want to be quiet, man? Turn your phone on, man, shut up. And I said, okay, turn the phone on. You know, then you think, I said, hold the fuck up. It's my motherfucking meeting. You know, it's my corner. This is what I do. You don't like it? But I didn't say that to him. I said it to myself. I said to him. You know, when I come in, I be quiet. You know what I mean? But you saved my life. You saved my life. You know, when the programming person called, right? You know, he said, is Jeff there? Right away, I said no. I was on the phone, I said no, because that's how the bill collectors get down there. You know, they call you like they know you and shit. You know, see, a while back, they say you're like, Mr. Walken, blah, blah. Now they call, hey, Jeff, hey, what's up? You know, and you know, you think of somebody, you know, you in the fellowship, you just said, yeah, what's up, baby? Where's that 835 fucking... See, I still got get over in me, right? I still got get over in me, and I know if you got a credit bill, right? If you acknowledge, if they call you on the phone and you acknowledge who you are, the clock starts ticking again on your 7-year limitation to pay the bill. Once they get that acknowledgement, you say, "Yeah, it's me." Boom, fresh 7 years. You know what I mean? So when he called, he says, Jeff there? I said, nah, Jeff ain't here. You want to take a message? I'll take a message for him. He said, well, tell him, I felt so stupid. He said, tell him Scott P. called, and we want to know if he want to come down to Ocean City. And I said, oh, this is Jeff right there. I misunderstood you. Nah, this is Jeff right here. Now, I would have been fucked, excuse my language, you know, I'm just listening, you know, I ain't trying to be offended, but I'd have been totally messed up if you said, okay, now that we got that down about you coming down to Ocean City, I also work for the First American Credit Card Company, we want our fucking money. And I'd have been like, yo, Scott, now that's fucked up. Now that ain't right. You know what I mean? You got to think out who you want to be when you call my house, man. You know, now you done played me, you know what I mean? So, you know, he asked me to come down. He did this dance thing. I said, okay, man. He said, you can never go wrong when you share your experience, strength, and hope, man. And like I said, you know, since I've been here, you know, I was going to touch on this. I'm going to shut it down, right? I went to Detroit to see my sister. She had got robbed out there, right? And I was meaning to get out there. Some other things happened. I wind up going out there. I went to a convention for one day, right? It was cute, but it wasn't like the old days. But it was cute, you know. But it was off the hook for the newcomer. See, because I watched the newcomer run around the joint. See, they was enthused. See, I'm an old man now, you know what I'm saying? I'm sitting around, you know, I'm ready to go get my books and sit down, and I'm, you know, morbidly serious. I'm not having as much fun as them. You know, they ain't got a care in the world, you know? And so I hang out with my sister. We, you know, we do some bonding. So I called her today from the room, right? And I said, hey, Karen, how you doing, blah, we talking, blah, blah. And she said, yeah, Jeff. She said, when you was down here, my girlfriend was over at that hotel because her brother is in the fellowship. And if I'd have known that, I'd have came over there, you know, and hung out with you, you know. I'd have went and got a room or came in the room with you and stayed because her girlfriend stayed the whole weekend. So I said, yeah, sir, I might be back in November. They do a nice thing out there in November. So she said, yeah. She said, when you going to Spain? She said, I think I want to go to Spain with y'all. She said, mommy's still going? So I'm like, I didn't really want to go. I was telling G, I said, man, I said, now moms want to go now. Now this one is talking about she want to go. Now the other one might be talking about they want to go. I said, now I got to go. You know, they said, send me the paperwork on that. You know, we'll do a little Barcelona. We'll do a little Madrid, blah, blah, blah. But it's only through this program, right? Only through this program, man. My mom was out in line at the World Convention. She loved it. She loved it. And then she said to me, she said, listen, I'm going to really know when this program works. I said, when, Ma? She said, when you pay me my money. You know? I'm still waiting for the fucking money. Word, mom, y'all got to meet my mother. My mom's got a list, man, from 1978. She don't bullshit, man. She do not bullshit. She won hers, man. When I, you know, the few times now, because I stopped taking advantage of my mom. So I don't go to my mom's and ask for no more money just to be asked. You know, she told me, you got to put savings away. You got to have at least, you know, $5,000, something, you know what I mean? You just can't keep running around with your hat out. Right? But if you go to mom's, your hat out, she'll give it to me, but she'll put out a little pass, she make you sign on September the 1st. You know, mom's, yeah, she said, you pay this, the program, you, what's one of them steps there? You're passing over the shit with a minimum of concern. You know, what's that, the eighth? Yeah, we ain't even gonna get to the 10th because I ain't borrowing no fresh money for her. You know, she just wanted to get paid from the, you know. So it's like lovely, man, you know. Oh, man, listen, I'm so glad to be alive. I'm glad you showed up for me. So you proved to me once again that my thinking is a lie, right? And I'm gonna share this right here and I'm gonna sit down, right? Because this person is very special to me, right? And I know, you know, she's just really shy. I like to think she's just perpetrating, but she's really shy, right? And me and her brother, man, I got clean, right? And he passed away, and it broke my heart. It broke my heart, man, because I knew he was coming here. Sooner or later, he was coming, right? And, you know, I stayed. I didn't use. You know, but she made, what, 24 years? 23 years today, and that's Deborah. And she helped me stay here day at a time when I got here. She let me be myself. And when I got off the hook, she would tell me, yo, calm down. You know, even Vanessa, I get off the hook, she'd say, listen, stop. I'm tired of these people calling me, telling me what you're doing. Stop. Cut it out. Okay. Even Gary, stop. Stanley, he just don't start. That's what Stanley tell me. Just don't start. You know, and thanks for letting me share.